let's talk about one of the sponsors to this program, which helps us a lot, and that, of course, is the Alexandria School for Nannies. Do you love children, Jack?
Yes, I do. I've got quite a few grandchildren.
Yes, I have seven, and I love little babies. But anyway, I have a friend, and she's a listener of this program, and she's the mother of five and grandmother of three, and she has recently attended the Alexandria School for Nannies, and now she's certified as a newborn care specialist. And she's enjoyed her education so much, she is now enrolled in their accelerated program for nannies. So if you would like to work with children while adding to your family's income, which is really kind of important these days, call Carolyn at 440-781-7531. And of course, if you are in need of that special person to watch your precious children, the number is the same, 440-781-7531. Again, if you love children and would like to find out more about the opportunities that are waiting for you as a professional nanny, one more time, call Carolyn, 781-7531.
Shalom, Mishpacha, and welcome to the special edition of the Shofar Ministries Hour live right here on Christian Radio 1220 AM as well as the World Wide Web, WHKWradio.com. My name is John Bartlett, your joyful co-host with our Bible teacher and minister, Sheila Crawford. And a reminder that you can re-listen to this program later this week on shofarministries.net. This is a great program. We have a wonderful program for you. As a matter of fact, it's going to answer questions that you've had about certain parts of the Bible for a long time. So please stay with us. Also, I'd like to add that we are working under a little bit of a strain because, unfortunately, Sheila's brother has just been rushed to the hospital in very serious condition. And in light of that, I believe I'm just going to turn over our opening prayer to Sheila Crawford. Sheila?
Thank you, John. And I really did want to do the prayer today because I'm asking everyone that's hearing me right now on radio and Internet, if you could just bow your heads and pray with me for my brother. He's very special to me. He's the only one I have left. And I just want to lift him up. So, dear Heavenly Father, I just praise you and I love you and I thank you so much that you are a God that hears our prayers. And I know, Lord, that you love my brother as well. And I just ask you to heal his body, to recover him, to bring him back to normal. And, Lord, just do a miracle with whatever's going on there. I pray, Lord, that you will also help all the family members to just comfort them, Lord, and help them to know that you are here with us and always will be. And I just praise you and I give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. And thank you, listeners, for praying along with us on that.
That's right. And Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Hey, we're still glad to be here, though, right?
Yes, and I'm going to try not to be sad.
Try not to be sad.
I am sad, but I'm going to overcome that.
That's great.
For the listeners, and we're going to have a very informative show today.
That's good. Even though we're just once a month now.
Yes. But. And, you know, it could be more if the people wanted to have me on the air more. Of course, we will take all donations and it'll go towards paying for the airtime.
That's right. And, you know, our next program will actually be on a Sunday, and that will be February 20th at 5:30 p.m.
That's right.
So it's a dinner time show.
That's right.
So you can eat your dinner and get fed with the Word of God at the same time.
Amen. You can also check out my calendar webpage for updated radio dates and speaking engagements, because sometimes things change.
That's true. And also remember that Shofar Assembly meets in Burton every second and fourth Saturdays, and that will be Saturday on February 12th, and then again on the 26th. Call us for detailed directions at 440-834-9006. We will be opening the lines later in this hour should you have any end time questions for Sheila. That number is 888.
And that's a different number.
That's a different number. That's 888 877-WORD, 888-677-9763, I believe that is. And Sheila, before we get to our teaching, we know we're going to ask you to do the news, but I want to just ask you, if you're listening today, have you ever read the Gospel of Matthew and just noticed how many times Jesus makes the reference, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God? Did you ever wonder exactly what he meant by what is the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God? There's two, you hear it twice, mostly the kingdom of heaven, and there's the kingdom of God. I have always wondered myself, well, we're going to find out today on this program.
That's
but before
right.
we do that, I guess there's a lot of things pertaining to the end times in the news today.
Well, I would think so. Even the local news is talking about it, so you don't even have to listen to cable.
Okay.
It's pretty amazing. But I do want to comment real quick on the State of the Union address that was at the beginning of the week. Just a lot of glimmer and just little substance as to how we're going to achieve the things that he wants to do. But I was disappointed. I mean, although he mentioned North Korea and Pakistan and how great we're doing in Afghanistan, which most feel, by the way, is just temporary. But our president never talked about the turmoil that was already brewing in the Middle East. Israel, Palestinians. Egypt was already starting to be in turmoil. In fact, Mubarak's son, who would have been heir to the throne, actually fled to London last week. And then we even now have protesters in Jordan and Turkey. And it's just the Middle East is like a powder keg over there. But they really want Egypt's President Mubarak, after 30 years, to step down. And the reason is that he is, of course, lives in luxury, but the people don't.
Well,
you know,
it's
very poverty-stricken, 30% unemployment.
And their demographics are different than ours here in the United States. They have a much younger population that
they
are willing to get out and protest.
Strong.
These things. Young and strong.
Willing to protest.
Yeah. Where's our younger generation? Why don't we have a huge – well, that's a whole other issue and a whole other story.
Yeah, we don't want to start something here anyway.
Yeah.
God's in control.
That's right.
But Mubarak has just appointed a man named Omar Suleiman to be a vice president, and he's hoping that maybe that will change their attitude and they will go along with it. Of course, Mubarak doesn't want to step down. He wants to remain president, so he'll still be calling the shots, but I don't think it's going to work. I think they want him out of there, and
I
he's going to probably
too.
Have to step down. But this Omar Suleiman, if they even allow him to step in, is a very powerful man. But as you said, John, the young want a better economy. And I don't know, I think most people know that the United States pays a lot of nations over in the Middle East just to keep peace with Israel, and Egypt is no exception.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we give them about $1.5 billion every year just for them to maintain peace with Israel.
Wow.
While the people are starving, they're not getting any of that money. You know, so they're in an uprising, and I think part of it was the Tunisia spark. Okay, because they did an uprising about, has it been 2 weeks now? I'm not sure. And I believe that was a model for what's happening today. And they were able to get a new government. And so they're, you know, hopefully going to do well with
this
that.
This economic crisis seems to be circling the globe. It's 30% unemployment.
In Egypt.
In Egypt right now.
Yeah.
That is very, very high.
Yeah. Well, and then just this morning I heard that Saudi Arabia's stock is down a hefty amount. And so that means gas prices are going to go up. And, of course, that then affects us, furthering the collapse of our economy that a lot of people say is inevitable.
Inevitable. Unfortunately, yes.
But, again, God's in control. And if you know Jesus, you only have one responsibility, and that's to tell people about him.
The time is near.
That's right. And that's why I report these things that are happening. Mainly to get people to understand we really are living in the end days. And all the signs that Jesus talks about in Matthew and all through the Bible, we're seeing all of them today, not just one or two, but all of them. And I love the one especially in Matthew 24:7, where it says, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
What is the word for nation in Greek?
That would be ethnos.
Which means?
Where we get our word ethnic or ethnic group.
Yeah, ethnics will rise against ethnics, or really people will rise against people.
People.
Mm-hmm. And that's what happens. And as far as the kingdom against kingdom, that usually means a place where the family continues to rule. And that would be like Saudi Arabia.
And it would be like Egypt, because the president of Egypt is
absolutely
just a title.
Absolutely.
It's actually a monarchy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But a lot of stuff happening.
Yes, and what about Lebanon?
Oh, right, it's Lebanon, yes.
Yeah, this is on Israel's northern border, and there's some serious things happening up there.
Serious things happening there. Well, we know that Tunisia's government was overthrown. Well, so has Lebanon's government been overthrown now.
Hmm.
It's now being run by an Iranian pick.
Hmm.
Interesting, huh? He's a business tycoon. His name is Najib Mikati. I guess if you just remember Mikati, that would probably be all you would need. But he is now heading this now puppet government, and that's really what it is. The old Hariri government is out, and as well, any more investigations into the assassination of his father 5 years ago, who was then prime minister. Okay, so let me revamp that. Hariri's father 5 years ago was assassinated, and everyone knows it was Hezbollah.
Okay.
Okay, so now his son, who has been in power until recently, wanted the UN to summon Hezbollah leaders in the death of his father. And, of course, they didn't want that, so the coalition government fell. Harari's now out of there, and they have this new guy. And, of course, he's going to say, no investigations, it's over, because he's definitely a puppet man from Iran.
Yes, he's a puppet that's installed by Iran. Mm-hmm.
That's right. So now this new leader can stop any further investigations, thereby saving Iran, Damascus, Hezbollah, you know, Syria, the embarrassment of a head-on clash with the international court. And that's really what's happening. Also, not just for the extradition of Hezbollah's top security officials, but also against Iranian and Syrian regime officials suspected of complicity in the Hariri assassination.
Okay, and this is very important, too, because Hezbollah is the primary enemy of in the north of Israel.
Absolutely.
And now we have someone installed there that can control Lebanon and make it easy for Hezbollah to get reestablished and to build up a force.
Right.
Hezbollah force.
And
up
Israel
there
knows it. Israel knows it. And they're already doing, mock, what do you call those things?
War games.
Yeah, and run to shelter and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
They're already doing that. They're expecting something to happen.
They sure are. And where are the people of Lebanon? Now, you know, they're usually very friendly with the U.S. What do they think of all this? Aren't they?
Yeah, the regular people are protesting,
protesting.
What I understand.
Okay.
But you got to remember this Mikati guy, he is a Sunni, okay? So even though he's a Sunni in name only, and he's really only out for his self-interest, he's very close to the Syrian regime, which despite not being a Shiite,
mm-hmm.
is still an ally and sponsor of Hezbollah. He's in their back pocket.
So he's a Sunni in name only? Is
That's
that what
right.
you would say?
That's okay. right. And so he's actually built a huge business empire in Europe, Africa, and the Middle East through his personal connections with the Syrian president and Hezbollah leader. And, of course, he uses their intelligence facilities to promote his interests.
Wow.
But what's also interesting is that because he's a Sunni, then the United States can say, hey, he is a Sunni. It's not like he's a Shiite. Hello.
Right.
You know, and it kind of covers them up from making any things. But, yes, the Lebanon people, they widespread street riots, I think, on maybe Tuesday last week.
Mm-hmm.
To protest this rising power, but I didn't think it went too far, although they were big and very violent, especially in the Sunni Muslim areas, where the locals fumed about their country slipping further under the thumb of Shiite Hezbollah and masters from Iran. But it's handwriting's on the wall. It's pretty inevitable. However, it still fits into Bible prophecy, and that's why I report it, because all nations will be against Israel. In fact, they're going to get to the point where it would be a miracle from God to save them. And that's exactly
what's going to happen.
What's going to happen.
Right.
So very chaotic. I feel that Israel is, although they're being very quiet, gearing up for something. And again, we always look at Psalm 83, remember?
Oh, Psalm 83? Yes, that was the that was a war that is prophesied in that
right.
that psalm.
And I don't see that it's happened yet because it names the immediate neighbors.
Yes, it does. And neighbors they have never taken on in battle
right.
all at once. So
that's, right.
that's what drew our attention to Psalm 83 in the first place. So we're looking for that Psalm 83 battle to occur at any time.
And if people miss that show, remember they can always go to my webpage. All you have to do is click on Radio Podcasts, and every single show is labeled. And look for the Psalm 83. I think it was last summer we did it.
Yes.
And
or the War of Psalm 83, something like that. I think it's listed under. But
that's right. And you know what? I just plead to you out there, if you want to learn more things about Jewish roots and end time prophecy predictions and fulfillments, go to my webpage. Listen to the radio shows. Every single one is got some nuggets in there, don't you think, John?
Oh, absolutely. And understanding the Jewish roots of the faith is essential to understanding
prophecy.
It puts
the end time scenario together.
Yes, it does.
It really, really does.
We're not Jewish.
No.
But our God is.
That's right. So, I've been grafted in.
We're grafted
in. I'm a spiritual
in.
Jew. But I also want to talk about, too, about that. There's a scripture in Micah 4 that says, many nations have gathered against you who say, let her be defiled, and let our eye look upon Zion.
Hmm.
But, and I love these buts, but they do not know the thoughts of the Lord, nor do they understand his counsel. For he will gather them like sheaves to the threshing floor. We don't have to worry about Israel. God's in control. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, which means Jesus, come back soon.
Come back soon. Okay. Psalm 2, we got to remember, too. You know, the Lord, why do the nations rage? Why do the, there's that word ethnos again. Why do they rage? And why are they willing to fight against the Lord?
That's right. What I think we really need to be worrying about more than Israel is the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We're falling, and it's all part of prophecy because, you know, all nations.
Don't give up. Still pray for the United States. And,
but tell others about Jesus. When's the last time you brought someone to the Lord?
Yes.
You know?
And it's tough. We know the times are darker. Less people know, more and more people know less and less about the Bible.
Especially end times.
And especially end times.
Believe me, and I know now that I've been on the radio, I get a lot of emails of questions that, oh my gosh, people really don't know much at all.
They don't.
I'm surprised.
But, you know, all you need to know is that the wages of sin is death and that the only atonement for sin is the blood. And the blood of Jesus Christ will atone for your sin. And if you put your faith and trust in Jesus, God will forgive you of your sin.
Absolutely.
And he will come and dwell inside you.
That's right.
In the form of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
And you will be born again.
That's right. And if you've ever said that prayer to become born again, and maybe since then you've kind of like gone your own way and doing your own thing, you know, and do it over. Just make sure, because these are rough days.
Yes.
And you need as much power of God and the Holy Spirit as you can get to fight that enemy, because the days are getting darker. And when the days get darker, the enemy gets stronger, because that's where his power comes from, the dark.
That's right. Remember, too, that Jesus preached more on the subject of hell than he did just about on any other subject. There is a hell, and you can avoid that hell. It's your choice whether you want to go there or you want to be with the Lord.
That's
forever.
Right. It's our choice.
It's
God
our
doesn't
choice.
Send you to hell. You decide to go there all by
That's
yourself.
Right. That's right. So make that decision today, okay? We're not going to have a halftime break or a song today. It probably wouldn't be appropriate. But I do want to mention that if you would like Pastor Sheila to speak at your church, give her a call, and Sheila will call your pastor personally to see if it would be beneficial to his sheep. So just call her at 440-834-9006. Don't forget and all donations are extremely important and vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry. Please consider being a seed partner in this endeavor. You can use PayPal on the website, or just send your gift directly to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton 44021. And every donation and any donation will automatically put you on the monthly newsletter. And that's full of gold nuggets and current events of these last days here and in Israel. And you can check out as well the webpage. And there the newsletters and previous radio shows are all there for you to find. They're archived, and DVD teachings are also available. So it's a great way to catch up if you need to catch up on some of the things that we talk about here. The phone lines are open as well right now for your end time questions. The phone number, 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-9673. If you're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour, and I'm sorry, you are listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour, and I'm going to turn it back to Sheila for today's study. But first, let me just say one more time, time is moving quickly. Be sure your relationship with Jesus is intimate. How will you know this? You will have a desire to know him more and long to be in his word, his presence, our Bible. Remember, Jesus is the word, and more word means more Jesus. More Jesus equals more wisdom to detect error, and it's just that simple. Please do it.
Thank you, John. And boy, we do have a lot of false errors out there, don't we?
Yes, deception and error is the hallmark of the times we're living in right now.
You're right.
Unfortunately.
But we want to talk about the kingdom that's to come.
Oh, yeah, the kingdom. I've read that
every day,
times in the Bible.
So excited about it.
Yes. What exactly is the kingdom?
Well, first of all, in the model prayer that the Lord taught his disciples, commonly called the Lord's Prayer, what would be a key petition in the Lord's Prayer, John?
I would think, after thy will be done, thy kingdom come.
Absolutely.
Yes.
But most Christians today really have no idea what that means. Yet, there are more promises and prophecies about this kingdom than any other period of time in the entire Bible.
And why is it so seldom taught?
Well, I think the lack of any realistic perspective on the kingdom may be the root source of the widespread apostasy that characterizes our contemporary churches today.
Really? You think it's that important? I think it's just overlooked because everybody just assumes that, well, the kingdom of God, we know what that is, but they don't really know.
No, I know they don't. And it's sad because the Old Testament is replete with commitments for a literal Messiah ultimately ruling the world through Israel from his throne in Jerusalem. Actually, almost 2,000 of them, 2,000 references.
And that's in
the
Old Testament.
Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And the ancient rabbis were dominated by the kingdom.
Oh, yes, the Olam Haba. They call it the world to come. And it's the time of the Messiah, Ben David, who is going to rule from the throne of David.
That's right.
And they know this. So they're looking forward to it. Oh, Sheila, could it be that this obsession obscured Israel's recognizing that the Messiah, when he did make his initial appearance,
most probably
didn't they think he was supposed to be the king right
then?
That's
right. And along with not understanding Isaiah, of course, that first he had to suffer and die for the sins of mankind, so they wouldn't have to kill animals anymore because it was the blood that covered their sins. So he was going to come and give it his blood. But somehow they missed that.
They were looking for a literal kingdom. Now, there's references in the New Testament as well.
At least around 300 or so that gives prominence to the millennial kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the early church, now this is like prior to 400.
Okay.
Maybe even 300. But the early church looked longingly for his promised return as their blessed hope, thinking he could come back at any moment. To rid that desperate world of its evil rulers.
And so why not today?
I don't know, because we have evil rulers today too, don't we?
Yeah, too.
But our enemy, we have an enemy, John. The church has an enemy.
Sure
enemies,
does.
Maybe, I guess, if you would yes. say. But he has implemented a divide-and-conquer strategy.
Now, that's a real old strategy, but it still works, doesn't it?
It does. He knows that as long as he can keep the body of Christ fractured, he can keep us weak.
Mm-hmm.
Over the years, he's mounted a number of campaigns to implement this strategy. For instance, gifts versus no gifts.
Oh, gifts of the Spirit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The inerrancy issue. The tongues issue.
Uh-huh.
The proper method of interpretation come to mind. But I believe that Satan's most successful efforts has been in the area of end time prophecy. For if he can get, and he has, so many different ideas going, the church will just forget the whole end time thing, and many have done so.
Just they just threw up their hands and said, let's get on to something different. But thank
God. It'll all pan out in the end.
Yeah, it'll pan out in the end. But thank God you haven't forgotten the whole thing, right?
You know, it's really amazing. I just can't. It's a drive in me.
Mm-hmm.
But soon after the beginning of the church age, around the time of Constantine, demonic influence has infiltrated the church leaders to deny the pre-trib, premillennial view, to keep us focused rather on the things of this world instead of always looking up, waiting for the Lord. And in this area, he's succeeding. So even though Paul very clearly taught a pre-trib rapture of the church, and John revealed a thousand-year kingdom to follow it, alternate views have sprung up almost continuously since then.
That is just amazing, given the fact, too, that there is a crown. There's a special reward for those who are looking for his appearance.
I know. But if we're looking for the Antichrist, how can we be getting that crown?
Yes, and why would he give a crown to for something that we're not supposed to be doing? Because we're supposed to be looking for
absolutely
to, and looking for him.
Absolutely. And that's why every generation has always felt they could be the one. That is the intention of God.
This is the motivation and should motivate you to live a holy life as well, because you know his coming is so imminent that, hey, it's time. We're the bride. And you know what? It's time to go get our hair done. It's time to pick out that dress. It's time to get cleaned up, because in our lives, really, spiritually speaking, we need to get the sin out. We need to start repenting. We need to start witnessing. It's time, folks.
Yeah, and I think the best way to be holy is by talking to people about Jesus Christ.
You do?
I do.
I think so, too.
Witnessing will keep you where you need to be. You have to be an example to the people you're witnessing to.
That's true.
You know?
That is very true.
But as most people know that listen to this radio show, I was raised a Catholic, but as well as mainstream Protestantism, okay,
mm-hmm.
They do embrace an eschatology that is called amillennial.
Amillennial.
Okay, so now if you have your pencil and paper out there, people, you might want to write some of this down. But amillennial is a view that does not envision a literal rule of Christ on the throne of David on earth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They deny a literal millennium, and this is particularly hazardous since it would appear to be an attack on the very character of God. It does violence to his numerous and explicit promises and commitments that pervade both the Old and New Testament. So by denying it, they're denying God's word. And that breaks my heart.
It does.
It breaks my heart. So. And as a Catholic, I was never really told anything about the end days or what would happen.
Hmm.
So that's called amillennialism. Again, a lot of that, too, is something that's called replacement
theology. That's led to replacement theology, and that just says that the church now receives Israel's promises.
Yeah, not their curses now, of course,
just
their promises. Just
their promises. So you can see the error in that. That's,
right.
That's very clear.
God has
promises for the church and for Israel. They're different.
Right, and they also say that the millennium has already began, that we're in the millennium.
Oh, we
are. With the church age, but they started saying that in the year 400. What happened when they got to the year 1000 and we're still in the church age? So it's not a millennium anymore. It's two millenniums.
It's two millenniums. So
it's a little, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's actually the majority of those that call themselves Christians are in that camp, because there's a lot of Catholics and a lot of mainstream Protestantism.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, the other is the post-millennialism, and that just means that Jesus will return after the 1,000 years. It also stems from dominion theology, or I should say dominion theology stems from post-millennialism.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, we're going to get the kingdom here now. We've got to get it ready. We've got to clean up the earth so Jesus can come back and rule.
Right, right.
Totally not the way the Bible says.
Especially when we now know through our Hebrew roots that it's coming at an appointed time. We're not, however the world is, it's going to occur at an appointed time.
Right, but one of the signs is that evil gets worse and worse. Why? Because that darkness has to pervade the earth more, because that's how the demons get more power.
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked on this show many times, that's why I believe in a pre-trib rapture, because the light has to leave for total darkness to be here so that the enemy can really get the power that it needs to finish the job.
Yes.
You know, so this dominion theology or kingdom now theology, which is stemming up, I think the emergent church is part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And basically they say everybody's going to get saved. We're going to have revival throughout the world. You know, we've got to do this. We've got to get all Christians in office because that's the only way Jesus is coming back. And that's just not the way it is. Now, will we have some revivals?
Yeah.
Sure, little pockets here and there. Thank God, praise Jesus.
Well, shouldn't we be doing that anyway?
Yes.
We should be doing
that.
Absolutely. Right.
But to think that there's going to be worldwide or even the United States wide is just not true. That is false theology.
That is true.
Okay. All right, then
Tribulationists? Is that what we are?
Well, I do want to mention, too, that there's another name for that, and it's premillennialists.
Okay.
In other words, there's going to be a tribulation before the millennial kingdom.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And then that brings us into tribulationists, whatever word you want to use. It's pretty much the same thing. And, of course, that's evangelicals and us and blah, 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 you know. But here's the three divisions of tribulationists.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's pre-tribulationists, and that's us. It's me and you, John.
Okay.
And I hope everyone that listens to this program is a pre-tribulationist.
Okay.
Which means that not only the tribulation will be before the millennial kingdom, but also there'll be a pre-trib rapture.
Okay.
Okay. So that's a pre-trib, pre-rapture tribulation.
Okay.
Okay.
The rapture is going to occur before the tribulation.
That's correct.
Okay.
All right. And then the other one, of course, is the post, which means that the tribulation and then the rapture.
It does not make any sense to me, though.
Well, it doesn't to me either,
mm-hmm.
but apparently it does to many because they believe it. The problem with that is it denies the imminence of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and again, we have to believe that Jesus can come at any time. Now, thank goodness that around 1700 we had that really great start of revivals. And that brought back the pre-trib rapture. Because before that, I think it just got lost.
I think so, too. It was lost until that time.
So we talked about the pre, and then the post is after the tribulation, there will be a rapture. But that also doesn't make sense, because then if all the people that are righteous are taken off the earth, then who's going to repopulate the millennial kingdom, which, by the way, there is humans and people will have babies and everything else, according to Isaiah 65 and 66.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on was added the mid.
Okay.
And that basically is because there was so much fighting going on between a pre and a post that someone wanted to compromise. Well, let's just make it mid. But that doesn't make sense either, because it does destroy the imminence.
It does.
You know, and again, who are we looking for?
We're looking for the Messiah. We're not looking for the Antichrist, right? We're looking for the Messiah.
Yes, and that's what the Bible talks about.
Mm-hmm.
Be ready at all times. That's our blessed hope, okay?
Yes.
And I'd like to repeat our ministry's address, because we had a little quick email there.
Oh, okay.
To do that. So can you give that address?
Yeah, I sure can. I could probably do it by heart, but I'll check.
I would hope so.
Our address is Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, Burton, Ohio, 44021.
Right, and if you want to email me, you just do Sheila at Shofar, S-H-O-F as in Frank, A-R, and that's Hebrew for the ram's horn, Shofar Ministries, M-I-N-I-S-T-R-I-E-S. If you could get that, that's good.
That's good. Thank you. It probably doesn't hurt to repeat that at all for everybody else listening. So, okay, now we've covered the different views on the rapture and the tribulation and the millennial kingdom.
That's
now,
right.
That kingdom.
Let's just go over it real quick.
Okay.
Amillennialism, which is the majority of those who call themselves Christians,
mm-hmm.
believe that church now receives Israel's promises and there is no literal millennial kingdom on the earth.
Okay.
Then we have post-millennialism, which means that Jesus is going to return after the thousand-year millennial kingdom, which brings in dominion theology, which says, hey, we got to clean up the earth so Jesus can come back.
Yes.
All right? And then we didn't mention about preterism, and that just means that every prophecy has already been fulfilled. You see a lot of that in the southern states.
That's true.
And
you got to remember with that little thing, too, that a lot of prophecies have double fulfillments. They have a fulfillment for the time that they were given and at a later time.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have more of us, like the Church of Philadelphia, if you into the seven churches in Revelation. And we are the premillennialists, okay, or tribulationists. And there's three kinds, pre, post, or mid. Pre is a pre-trib rapture before the rapture of the church, which precedes the millennial kingdom. And then you have the post, which means all the Christians are going through the tribulation and then the rapture of the church and then the millennial kingdom. Or you can have the mid or the pre-wrath, sometimes people call it. And again, that is just a compromise. But again, who are you looking for? And then when you bring in the Hebraic roots, which is why I seem to understand anti-prophecy even better, is because there has to be a period of seven for a honeymoon.
That's right.
Okay, that is the complete number. You cannot have 3.5 years up in heaven for your honeymoon. It has to be seven.
And the church's time on the earth is numbered. It's numbered. It's the end of the times of the Gentiles actually comes right with the rapture. I mean, that's... Then it goes back to
the fullness
of the Gentiles.
Still be Gentiles.
Right.
But the fullness is at the rapture yet.
At the rapture. So, okay. Well, now let's get on to explaining to our listeners the difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. I know I had that confused at the beginning.
Yes, and you know what's interesting is that it's only in the Gospel of Matthew. Okay. Matthew seems to want to differentiate between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. The other writers, okay, mm-hmm. Mark, Luke, and John, all use the kingdom of God. And how you differentiate whether it's spiritual or literal is its context.
I see.
All right?
Okay.
But Matthew's different. He wanted to separate it right up front so you could tell the difference. Okay? It's pretty neat, too, because if you know, when we were studying the four gospel writers, we know that Matthew, his book, he actually wrote more directly to the Jews. He spoke often of the Jewish promised one,
mm-hmm.
okay, talked about him being here, and speaks more of his credentials as a king.
Yes.
The lion from mm-hmm. the tribe of Judah. In fact, he even traces Jesus' genealogy through the tribe of Judah and the line of David.
So that's kingly line both ways.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So the royalty thing.
Yes.
Now, Mark, he actually goes through the priestly line and focuses more on his servanthood because he was speaking more to the Gentiles, as did Luke.
What, in Mark's genealogy?
Yes.
Okay.
And then John, of course, was the mystical one, and he was really speaking to the church. So he focused on being born again, and really, I don't think he talked much about the millennial kingdom, hardly at all.
Hmm. Okay.
But maybe in the prayer. But so we see Matthew often referring to the millennial kingdom, and in fact, is the only gospel writer, let me say it again, the only gospel writer who uses the phrase kingdom of heaven when referring to the millennial kingdom. When he uses the kingdom of God, he's speaking about the spiritual kingdom that is inside of us right now.
So that's the difference.
That's right. And it can really help you understand when we're talking about, like, for instance, and I'm not going to go into it today because we won't have time, but you know the parable of the 10 virgins?
Yes.
Well, Matthew's the one that talks about that, and he talks about it being the kingdom of heaven. So we know that's going to take place during the tribulation. And people have always wondered, well, is that the bride or is that the tribulation saints?
Oh, okay.
And because of Matthew's differentiating between the two, we know that's going to be during the tribulation. But I just put that out there for people to do their own homework, because that's all I'm supposed to do, John. You
yes.
know, I stir people up to do their own homework. I don't expect them to believe what I say. I don't want them to believe what I say.
Right. Maybe you've been taught that the kingdom of heaven means something entirely different. Maybe you've been taught that the kingdom of God refers to something entirely different. But I think Sheila Crawford has a grip on this, because she studied this for a long time. And I think it surprised me when she gave a shofar, the last shofar assembly we had. She did this teaching, and it just knocked me really off my seat.
Well, and I hope people will join us sometime.
Yes, because you learn stuff like this.
All right, let's give some scriptures, because that's really what it's all about.
Again,
don't want just people to listen to what I have to say. I want you to be able to look up scriptures. So I hope, again, that they're taking notes and can write these at least the address down, and then you can look it up yourself. But let's start with John Matthew 19:24. Could you read that?
Yes, and it says, "And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God."
Okay, now remember, Matthew separates the kingdom of God, meaning the spiritual kingdom inside of us when we become born again,
mm-hmm.
versus the kingdom of heaven, which is the literal kingdom later.
Okay.
So he's saying here it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, and that's a whole other story with that, than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Why? Because you don't want to keep your money as priority once you are born again.
That's right.
Not that you can have money, but it can't be a priority. So it's a little harder. It's harder for rich people to accept the gospel.
So entering the kingdom of God is actually an idiom for being born again or getting saved.
You got it.
Okay.
You got it. In fact, in John 3, he actually talks about being born again, and that's the kingdom of God. So he mentions
exactly. Exactly.
Okay. Can you read the scripture in Matthew 5:3?
Matthew 5:3. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven."
Heaven.
Okay.
So what's that telling us?
Well, that's telling us about a literal kingdom, correct?
Once we become born again, because we have to become born again before we can go to the kingdom of heaven,
mm-hmm.
we have to be poor in spirit. And we can't be poor in spirit until after we're born again.
Oh.
You get that?
No.
I mean, usually, because then you recognize who you are in Christ and you become poor in spirit,
mm-hmm.
you know? And that's when you can go to the kingdom of heaven.
Okay.
Okay, let's try another one.
All right.
Matthew 5:10.
"Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven."
Okay, so are you going to get persecuted before you're even saved?
Oh, no.
No.
No, 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 no.
So the kingdom of heaven is what comes later, after the kingdom of God is inside of you.
Okay.
Okay, so in other words, let's reiterate. You must have the kingdom of God inside of you. That's an idiom for being born again. Before you can go to the kingdom of heaven, which is the millennial kingdom, which we're all going to be in at some point in time.
Okay. Didn't Jesus say that to Nicodemus? He said you must be born again in order for you to see the kingdom? Or how does that go?
He calls it the kingdom of God.
Kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Okay.
He doesn't call it the kingdom of heaven.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
So at some point in time, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven emerge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But again, you have to be saved before you can be part of the kingdom.
Well, there's a definite order here.
That's right. Let's do another one.
Okay.
Matthew 6:33.
"But seek first." Oh, here's the order.
There you go.
"Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you."
Okay. So what do you do first? You have to get saved first.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
Okay.
I hope this helps somebody out there.
Yeah.
Matthew 7:21, this is a good one.
"Okay, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven."
Okay, so after people think they are saved, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this, didn't we do that? Certainly I can go into the kingdom.
Hmm.
But he says, I never knew you.
Ooh.
So they were in name only, weren't they?
Yes, they were.
That's right. Let's try Matthew 13:10.
Okay, now this is right after the parables.
Yes.
"And the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? Jesus answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given."
That's right. You know, you have to get saved first before you understand the kingdom of heaven. Those people weren't saved. They're not going to get it. And, you know, how often does that happen to us? How many times have you talked to someone that's, you know, hasn't given their heart to the Lord yet, and they go, I can't read the Bible. It doesn't mean anything to me.
And
that's why.
And that's why.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's making so much sense to me every time I study
it. That seek first the kingdom of God. Get saved first. Okay.
That's right. Okay. Matthew 18:3. John, try that
okay.
one.
Okay. "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven."
Right. We have to become like little children because we have to become born again. When we become born again, we start off as babes in Christ.
That's right. It's
and
another
we need
idiom
milk
for getting
first,
saved. Mm-hmm.
Right? And then later on, we get the food, get the meat. But it says, unless you are converted first and become as little children, you'll never get to the kingdom of heaven, which is the millennial kingdom.
Now you see the picture of this order.
It makes so much sense.
You see a picture of the order of this happening coming out so clearly now. You have to be born again first. You have to start as a little child.
That's right.
Wow.
Amen.
It's getting clearer.
And, you know, even Luke, now, again, we're really into Matthew, but I found a scripture in Luke that even defines it also. Can you read Luke 17:20?
Yes, I found this one on my own. It's the very definition of this says, now, when he was asked, Jesus, by the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you.
There you go. There's that difference.
Pretty plain.
Pretty plain.
Pretty plain. It's
pretty
within
plain.
You. And you get, when you get saved, when you're born again, that happens where? Within you.
Within you. Amen. We have time for a couple more. Matthew 11:12.
Matthew 11:12. And from the days of John the Baptist, and this is Jesus' words, until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force.
Now, this is huge.
Okay.
Because I can't tell you how many times I've read that scripture and think, what in the world is that saying? And now it is just so clear to me because where is the millennial kingdom going to be? On earth.
On earth.
From where?
From Jerusalem.
Jerusalem.
Yes, that's the seat of it.
What has always, really, pretty much always happened in Jerusalem?
Violence.
Yes.
I mean, in our time, yes.
That's right, and people are trying to take it by force, and they're still doing it today.
And they're still trying to force, I think that back in the disciples' time, the time of Jesus, they were trying to force the kingdom to happen, the millennial reign on earth to happen there, too. So.
Yeah, but that just makes total sense to me. He's talking about Jerusalem when he's talking about the kingdom of heaven.
That just,
amen.
We have time for another one?
Quick.
Okay.
Matthew 21:28.
Okay. But what do you think, this is Jesus' words, what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not, but afterwards he regretted it and went. Then he came to the second and said likewise, and he answered and said, I go, sir, but he didn't go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said to him, the first. Jesus said to them, assuredly, I say to you that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you.
Right. You have to get saved, and they would get saved before. He wouldn't have said kingdom of heaven as a tax collector and a harlot because that wouldn't be. You would get saved, and then you go to the kingdom of heaven. So that's pretty cool, huh?
That is pretty cool. And In other words,
anyone can get saved.
Does that take the confusion out of things for you? I hope, listener, that it did for me.
Let's do one more, Matthew 24:43, and we'll close on this.
Okay, therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a people bearing the fruits of it.
That's right, and that's exactly what happened. He turned it over for the Gentiles to receive Christ.
That's right.
And that's what that's all about.
And that's how we get saved.
Oh, John, it goes by so fast.
It does. I'm sorry to say that it does. And if you have never made Jesus Lord of your life, or maybe you're concerned, you might be one of those who just have the head knowledge of him and not really a heart conviction, you know, that inside the kingdom of God. If you want to get the kingdom of God within you, get on your knees right now. Repent, particularly of those sins which seem to be lingering in your life. Admit to God that you have no control over them. Then commit or recommit your body and soul and spirit to Yeshua the Messiah. And it's all still your choice to choose him, okay? It's your decision where you want to spend eternity. Remember, God doesn't send anyone to hell. You decide yourself when you will go, when you die. Because the soul never dies. It has to go somewhere. And there's only two places. It's with God or with Satan. So you decide.
That's right. And you know, John, remember Hosea 6:6. It says, for I desire mercy and not sacrifice. It's not what we do. And he says, and the knowledge of God before the burnt offering. So he wants you in the Word of God before all those good deeds that you think is going to get you there.
That's right. And you know what? The Bible says Jesus is mighty to save. Our God is mighty to save. In other words, this is his main thing.
That's right.
And if I don't care how deep in sin you are or how far you've backslidden, it doesn't matter. He can take away that sin if you turn to him and repent now. Okay? If you have a question for Sheila or if you would like her to speak at your church or church group, just email her at sheila@shofarministries.net. And again, any and all donations are extremely important, especially these days. It's vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry. Please consider being a seed partner in this endeavor. God will surely bless you if you do. Use PayPal or send your gift directly to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, 44021. All donations will put you automatically on the monthly newsletter. And you can check out our webpage. The newsletters and previous radio shows are all archived. And be sure to visit the blog as well. And a great study for beginners on DVD, Hebraic Roots 101, is now available on the webpage at shofarministries.net, or just call 834-9006. Now we're going to leave you with the Aaronic blessing. Yevrecha ka Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha, Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Please remember to continue praying for my brother. I covet your prayers. Join us next time, which, by the way, is Sunday, February 20th at 5:30 p.m. And until then...
Shalush Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, Jerusalem, shall prosper.
And that's not a maybe, you know. And again, what are we praying for when we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, John?
We're actually praying for the return of Jesus.
That's right.
And his actual kingdom on earth here, the millennial kingdom.
That's right. And everything that's happening, it just seems like it's going to be so close, doesn't it?
Yes. So get the kingdom of God inside you by repenting and receiving Jesus as your Savior.
That's the key.
Then we'll all see each other in the kingdom of heaven.
That's right. And all the things that are going on in your life, the turmoil, the heartaches, and the problems, soon will be over. Just keep your eyes focused on the Lord, and he'll see you through it all.
That's right.
Okay, shalom.
Shalom. Till next
Shabbat
time.
Shabbat shalom. Till next time.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the right-hand side of the screen, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Saturday at 1 p.m. for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220.